is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ. But you're...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Cultish, Entering the Kingdom of the Cults. My name is Jeremiah Roberts. I'm one of the co-hosts here. I am here with Super Sleuth Andrew, the Super Sleuth of the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this episode today. It's going to be a hot topic.
Oh, my goodness.
But we've got someone very special with us today. How about go ahead and you introduce
Yeah, so
me.
I want to introduce you guys to, you may have listened to our previous podcast that took place earlier today at your hotel. And that, so the audio is a little higher quality because we've got some professional recording equipment versus just an iPhone 7 that we laid down. And here we are, and it's good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm excited to be here. I'm not sure they'd call me a professor, but a teacher.
A teacher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just a professor has this like, like credentials and stuff that. Look. So to give everyone context, definitely, if you haven't listened to the two episodes, you might be seeing this on TV. We have two episodes where we kind of just kind of was really kind of introductory, kind of breaking the ice. And hopefully this will be a continuation, no pun intended, of showing that you can have everything surrounding this. When we did our initial series with Lindsay Davis, we really struck a raw level of thought within the marketplace of ideas, especially people within the body of Christ. At the end of episode 3, I gave an invitation for someone to come on, and you reached out to us, and we were conversing back and forth. You're going to get with us, but we just so happened to, you were busy, you got a lot of stuff going on, so it just so happens we had an episode on the New Age, which we're going to discuss in another episode. So now here you are, and we're here with you now. So right now, we want to definitely get into the theology and discussions, but just tell, for anyone who hasn't listened to the previous episode, tell them again, just really brief summary, who you are, just a little bit of your credentials, and what's going, and just so you know, if you haven't listened to the previous two episodes, you came out here on your own accord from Redding, California, and you see this as an important conversation to have. Just share with us what's on your mind and what's prompting you again to come on and have this conversation over these issues.
My name is Elijah, and I teach apologetics at Bethel, and I came out because I listened to the Defecting from Bethel episode, and I said, there's some things that I agree with, there's some things I don't, this will be a great conversation, these seem like great guys, and so, you seem like healthy, safe people, and so I wanted to talk to you.
Awesome, so We kind of went around some general issues as far as the role of prophecy, the role of prophets, and you definitely check out those other two episodes. So this episode, we're going to be kind of delving into the theology because it's an important thing to discuss. There are a lot of people who are using the term, and this is, sometimes people will give things titles right away, just very reactionary. Heresy, this is false Christ, false gospel, but it's important one to define terms, but maybe sometimes people don't realize the weight of such a statement.
Oh yeah.
Because of the fact that you're really dealing with the difference between having eternal life and the depart from me, I never knew you, false Christ, false gospel. Like that's when someone makes a charge, it's not something that can be taken lightly. And it just so happens that this episode, we're going to be focused on just a couple points of the theology. So there are men that I look and highly respect. I'll just name him, Costi Henn. He makes is that we're going to talk firstly about Jesus, because that's really, there's a lot of variety of topics, and we hung out yesterday and we had a good time, and there's a lot of things you could go around, even somewhere between the line of like secondary issues that a lot of people talk within the body of Christ, but it's, this is where it's really all at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just set it up, and I'm going to go ahead and play this initial clip. This is actually from Uncle Wally. We're going to be talking about the first aspect of what people bring up, the kenosis. Mm-hmm. There's another Jesus, and mm-hmm. you're around the Bethel. I mean, you're from, there's mm-hmm. a whole slew of what people say and don't say as far as what is really being taught, all that sort of stuff. And so I want to just kind of set up a foundation, talk about why this is so important, and we're on the safe page, we agree with that. And then how do we hear on some levels from the horse's mouth, what are, like, how do we deal with this? And I think this would be beneficial for everyone. So let me go ahead and pull up. As you know, you are familiar with, just so you know too, you said you had a professor, that someone that worked with Walter Martin.
Oh yeah, Kevin Lewis.
Kevin Lewis.
And he's an excellent prof. And he does cults, he does occult, all that stuff. And he's got a legal background, and so he teaches apologetics from a legal perspective. And
interesting.
It's super interesting. Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely have to check that out. Maybe you can send me some videos and stuff like that. So to kind of set the foundation, this is a clip from Walter Martin, and this is actually one of my favorite videos. It's called Dialogue at the Doorstep with a Mormon, and you can see it's a mock conversation between someone who's a former Mormon, Walter Martin. They kind of play devil's advocate back and forth. And even though this isn't necessarily about Mormonism, it's what Waldy says here is very relevant to our discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and here we go.
Well, you know, whenever anybody wants to talk with me about Christianity or religion, I always remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And he said, the most important question was, what do you think of Christ?
That's the very important question.
Whose son is he? That's really where it's all at. And for me, I'd really like to know what you really think of Jesus Christ, because that's really where it's all at.
That's where it's all at for us. The name of our church is the...
Yeah. So I clipped off a little long, but that's what he says right there is accordingly really important. That's sure. And that's what I always try in... When you're having these conversations, you got to get to the really laser focus in what are the essentials, like what do you say about Jesus? So mm-hmm. the what we've seen as far as like the buzz goes, and you're familiar with this, we've already discussed this with you, are the quotes from Bill Johnson, When Heaven Meets Earth. And I'm going to go ahead and just read this quote entirety. And I you know, obviously, if you guys have the book, whether you're from Bethel, we'll give you the slide, the sources and references and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and just quote this, and then we'll go ahead and have this discussion. So quote, this is from page 29 of When Heaven Meets Earth. Quote, Jesus could not heal the sick, neither could he deliver the tormented from demons or raise the dead. To believe otherwise is to ignore what he said about himself, and more importantly, to miss the purpose of his self-imposed restriction to live as a man. Jesus Christ said of himself, the Son can do nothing, John 15:9, and in the Greek language, the word nothing has a unique meaning. It means, in capitalized, nothing, just as it does in English. He had no supernatural capabilities whatsoever, while he is 100% God. He chose to live with the same limitations that man would face once he was redeemed. He made the point over and over and over again. Okay, I think I said that twice. Jesus became the model for all who would embrace the invitation to invade the impossible in his name. He performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship to God, not as God. If he performed miracles while he was God, then they would not have been attainable for us. But if he did them as a man, I am responsible to pursue his lifestyle. Recapturing the simple truth changes everything and makes possible for a full restoration of the ministry in his church. Close quote. So what I'll do is, because we can maybe get into the second quotation, and maybe we'll bring that up in the mm-hmm. conversation, but I want to get the other clip out of the way, if that's okay. And then this is a clip that I've seen posted online, And this took place at a Hillsong conference, and it's roughly about 2 minutes. This is what Bill Johnson said particularly about the nature of Jesus at in regards to miracles and similar to what appears to have been said in this and what was said in When Heaven Meets Earth. So let's go ahead and play that, and here we go.
He said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Do you know that Jesus so restricted his function on earth that he actually couldn't heal anyone? He couldn't multiply food. He couldn't cast out devils. He couldn't do any of that stuff because he had restricted himself to the life of a human being that would have to be dependent on the Father through the Holy Spirit. Now, if he did miracles as God, I'm still impressed, but I'm reduced to an observer. I stand back and go, that's amazing. God, that's amazing. But the New Testament was different. The New Testament shifted where everyone gets to be involved in that which God is doing. Everyone gets to be involved. Why? Because now the Holy Spirit that once rested on the prophets of old now dwells in every believer, and he is the Spirit of resurrection. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he wants out. He's in us, according to Scripture, as a river, not a lake. It's not just an abiding presence. It's a flowing presence that alters the geography of the world around us. It's being a people that learn how to cooperate with this wonderful Holy Spirit so that he can bring transformation to an individual, to an environment, to a city, to a nation. But he is the one who brings about the change. And it's my yieldedness to him that makes the difference. Never turn down an opportunity to die.
Mm. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Those are just two examples. You're familiar with this.
Sure.
You've been across. I'll just real quickly, and hopefully, I want to set up as much of context as possible. This is a tweet by Bill Johnson, and I have no idea who he's replying to. I just pulled this up where this has come up where that same accusation, and he says, "No, I don't believe that. Jesus is eternally God, always has been, always will be. That's another hurtful rumor." So you've met Bill.
Sure.
And you've looked him in the eye, and he's said the same thing to you. Like, where do we, that's a long setup. How do we make sense, as someone who attends from Bethel, what do we do with all, where do we go from here? Like, how do we make sense of all this from your perspective?
Yeah. I want to back up and go, what is sound doctrine? If we're going to talk about kenosis, if we're going to talk about whatever. Okay. Sound doctrine, orthodox doctrine, is that Jesus is fully God, fully man. And so that the second person of the Trinity took on human form, and these aren't confused at all. He's fully human, fully God. And it's necessary for God to die for our sins. And so, like, when you start to confuse these things, it becomes a salvation issue. And I want to kind of explain this to a Bethel audience for a moment.
Absolutely.
Because we're, how do I put it? We, at times, are very generous in having doctrinal disagreements. You might find an Arminian and a Reformed person in the same church, old earth, young earth, that type of stuff. And, like, the nature of renewal movements is, let's look beyond our secondary and third level issues and go for Jesus and see his kingdom come in power and love each other despite our differences. When it comes to heresy claims in the New Testament, there's two reasons you get kicked out of church. One is heresy. The second, sleeping with your stepmom. Like, and so it's a big deal. And to to say.
Well, those would be two. Those would be like two primary examples.
Right, so right,
you
right.
Could, you could.
There's spread, others.
The,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
What
yeah.
do you like? You click on the one like spreadsheet and like three more pop up. Or
right, right,
so
right.
Those are two examples. Right. Yeah.
But my point with this is this: like, it's not out of the church; it's out of the kingdom. Like, when Paul says, "Hand this man over to Satan," it's like, we are acknowledging you are not a part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a big deal. And so that is what the other side hears when they hear certain statements or buzzwords come out of us. They're like, oh my gosh, these guys are teaching people things that will cause them to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I have talked with Bill because I think that's an important thing to look into.
Right.
I've seen stuff in books that make me go, oh, I've got questions.
Right.
I've seen other sides where I go, yeah, it sounds like he's teaching, hypostatic union. And so I just point blank asked him one Sunday. I'm like, Bill, what do you believe? And this is very important. When you're asking people what they believe,
mm-hmm.
make it as simple as possible. You don't want to use big words to confuse people. Heresy tests should be super clear.
Okay.
And so I just said, do you believe Jesus fully God, fully man? Or do you believe he's fully man and God minus some attributes? And he said, fully God, fully man. That's what I believe. And if, you know, someone, if I actually taught what people think I teach, you know, I would be concerned. Like if I heard someone doing that.
Right.
So for me, I go, okay, I see that. I see that there's some things, I hear things that I go, I would be confused if I read that.
Right.
Right.
And so I do think there's a bit of a mess to clean up. I think there is confusion on this topic,
mm-hmm.
But to the best of my knowledge, being as honest as a person as I can, like to investigate this, like I talked to elders at our church.
Yeah.
Well, what do we believe? I talked to the theologian at our church. What do we believe? And it consistently comes back fully God, fully man. And like, one of them told me that, you know, Bill Johnson sat in the room when we approved our doctrinal statement that said, right. fully God, fully man. And so that's what he wants us to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I teach at school. There has never been anyone who's told me to teach kenosis or anything of that nature, or born again Jesus, or little God theology.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but.
Okay. So when it comes to, I mean, I look, when you sent the initial document and you have your statement of faith, and we talked about this, and relatively it is, it looks generally orthodox for sure. My question is then, when it comes to, like you mentioned, if I taught this stuff, like mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if people are actually assuming what I teach. Would that's what he said? Or am I misparaphrasing it? Okay. So my question would be, would that his level of teaching, would that on some level go over to his writings or his books?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean,
so here, I guess the discrepancy that I'm having, and there's a level where I want to be fair. You, like I said, you've come out here on your own accord. When you want to lay charge like these, it's you can't do it lightly. This is a very important topic and issue. My hang up with here in talking with you is that I look at the Orthodox statement, and we were talking earlier, you're from Georgia, and there, and mm-hmm. even like in Texas, and people even there, or like in Texas, there's this honor where you look a man in the eye and he tells you what he means and means what he says. There's just that aspect. And so when you said you did that with Bill, I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, when we look at these statements, and there's a lot of other references mm-hmm. in multiple books where the words being stripped of his divinity or doing mm-hmm. miracles as someone else dependent on that. When I hear that, and I'll be perfectly honest, as one, like Walter Martin talked about the, how do you detecting the counterfeit, and you gave the example mm-hmm. of the counterfeit dollar bill. Have you, sure. are you familiar with that analogy that he's talked about?
I've heard analogies oh, yeah. like that before.
Yeah, so he basically yeah. says you become so familiar with the original that you detect mm-hmm. a counterfeit because he mm-hmm. dealt with people dealt with counterfeit money, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. So I know just from myself that I saw that video being passed around, which I just played that clip. Mm-hmm. There's an aspect where I've been in perfect honesty and transparency that's made my hair stand on end. And it's just not that it's like anything after anyone personally, but this is not the Jesus that I know, the Jesus that is from Scripture. That, I mean, we talked about, like R.C. Sproul, for example, talks about the nature of Jesus and him. His humbling was actually taking on flesh, and it was mm-hmm. subtraction
right.
by addition. So, like, what do we do? Why are those statements there? Like throughout mm-hmm. those 2 years, and is there anything else you want to add, Andrew?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering too. So, why exactly? How are those statements there? Does it have anything to do maybe with some type of eschatology that needs to be fulfilled? Like where he says he performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship to God, not as God. If he performed miracles because he was God, then they would be unattainable for us. Does that have anything to do with some type of eschatology in line of like taking dominion? So is there some type of theology that is actually influencing the view of Jesus? Because we hear him saying one thing, but then in his book he says something totally different, sure. you know? So I'm just wondering because I'm curious.
Well, I'm going to guess. Okay. Because I think it's going to be an accurate guess. At Bethel, our passion is to see God's kingdom come to earth.
Okay.
And by kingdom, it can be any sign of the kingdom. People saved, people healed, the hungry fed, mm-hmm. families restored, love. And so I think the point Bill is trying to make is that we as humans, because he says, don't miss an opportunity to die, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a sense in which part co-laboring with God to see his kingdom comes to earth is painful. Like going up to someone to talk about Jesus is painful. Like mm-hmm. it's awkward. Praying for a sick relative is awkward. Praying for a coworker, I might lose my job.
Right.
And so he's trying to point to Jesus, I think, as the perfect model of what it looks like for humanity to live in right relationship to God. Like that is the thrust of what he is saying. And I do see Jesus as my rabbi. I mm-hmm. want to become like him in all these ways. I want to continue in my personal development to share Jesus with people, to pray for the sick. And I think there's a large portion of the church who values correctly articulating Jesus, which you should, at the expense of living like what Jesus, or living the lifestyle of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's trying to counteract that. And I think there's some phrases that need to be changed.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I think what would be good is like I said, I want to be as fair as possible.
Me too.
The thing is though, is that everyone that I've talked to who sees those statements, I try mm-hmm. to like, I started going through when heaven meets earth and mm-hmm. I had forgotten where the reference was.
Sure.
And as soon as you could title it, you could give a completely different author, whoever it is, it could be a completely different book publisher, completely different everything. Throw Bethel out the window. I read sure. that and my hair stands on end. Okay. Like this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's important that I don't see any other conclusion like how people are coming to this. And my concern is that this is something that is like you're a worldwide movement.
Sure.
This book is being... This and many other books where a lot of these additional sources where the same thing is happening, mm-hmm. where it's not some third party blog saying he said this.
Right.
Right. And that's, I'm not interested in doing that. These are books by, authored by Bill, like under the whose publisher is, that are saying these things. And even if he didn't mean that, mm-hmm. I don't see how people all around the world could read that and come to that. Even if you're saying he's not kenosis, I could see how someone even could. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the question is like how, like that. So Doreen, for example, when she came out of the New Age, she was in a rock and a hard place because mm-hmm. she had published a lot of crazy stuff. And so when she came to know Jesus, and this is an example of revival, and we'll talk mm-hmm. about this too. And when we talk about the New Age, she was conflicted. She's like, I have to try and unpublish this stuff as much as possible because I don't want to lead people astray.
Right.
Is that something you could see Bill doing if that's what he did? Because he's saying one thing, and I believe he was not like, you look the man in the eye, I'm going to take you for account. Like, mm-hmm. is that something you think he could do or take ownership over? Because I don't see how all the published works
mm-hmm.
and him just saying, I've never said that with other people or looking at you. Mm-hmm. I don't see how those two jive together.
Yeah. I mean, I've shared this with you that, you know, we're going to send out some clarification videos or whatever Bethel does. We start mm-hmm. talking one way and then it ends up maybe a document or something.
Yeah.
And I hear the greater body of the church, like, definitely need to clarify. Definitely, in my opinion, it would be wise to, in future updates of books, to clarify, use that type of language. And I think also for us to develop catchphrases that encapsulate perfect Christology.
Right.
Because for better or for worse, charismatics tend not to trend towards systematic theology, although I wish we would. Mm-hmm. And we learn through osmosis a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it would be very helpful for the teachers in our movement to think, what are the catchphrases we need to start using to get this right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So with all with the people that are in that you interact with Bethel, the different mm-hmm. the people who are in charge of different theology, mm-hmm. And the professors and the different people that you interact with who really are mm-hmm. formulating the doctoral statements or in these discussions, when this issue of kenosis, like if this was brought up, like if I took this phrase
mm-hmm.
and didn't say it was Bill Johnson and sure. like I read it to them.
Yeah.
Like, is that something you, like, say you'd accept that? Like, how would they deal with that? I'm just trying to make sense of these conflicted, what seem to be very much a confliction.
Let's say a student was teaching that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would definitely, I mean, if I heard that taught, let's say it was someone under me at some level, I could see myself sitting down and being like, Well, walk me through what you think. Did you mean to say that? Yeah. And to gently and lovingly, you know, correct what needs to be corrected. Sometimes mm-hmm. people misspeak. Sometimes people miswrite. You know, Bill's on the road 200 days, sometimes preaches on 2 to 3 hours of sleep.
Right.
And so what I don't want to do is do heresy trials in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, healthy churches look at problems. Sometimes it takes some time. And they go, all right, this is something we're getting feedback on. Let's do the right thing. And that's always been Bethel's mode of operation is let's do what's right. And so I have high confidence that there'll be some executive level conversation about how to make things right, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you have anything that you want to bring up or?
No, I think that's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. I would just say that, when it comes to this whole issue is that, again, I'll quote just to kind of paraphrase, and who knows, I might be interacting with him at some point. He lives here in the Valley. Like, Kosti Hinn, like, given the state of circumstances right now, I'll take you at your word, and this is what's being said and being, and from your vantage point, it's your vantage point, not mine. I believe, given I would say even independent lines of testimony as far as, like, multiple different publications which appear to be saying the same thing, we may post some of these things in broader context. There's additional quotes of When Heaven Meets Earth and other quotes where this is talking about Jesus' divinity being stripped. He has the right and as the role and a proper in role, and you want to talk about, like, the code of honor, even honoring his role as a position of a pastor and shepherd of the church. He's been called to shepherd and protect. To say right now there would have to be action on Bill's end to either, I would say, even unpublish those books, reclarify, and do everything he can, because he's saying one thing, all his published works are saying another. So at this point in time, I would say that, like, Kosti would have every right to stand behind what he's saying, is that at least the canonic Christ that saying that, at least in conformity to the different sources and references in his books. Because I, at least for me personally, I don't see any way around except to come to that conclusion. So it's like, how do I make sense of both worlds? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It kind of does. I mean, you have to evaluate me as a witness. Like,
for
imagine
sure. Yeah.
This. Someone says, I saw a murder, and that's the one person.
Okay.
We would convict on that. All you need is one witness. And so I'm telling you what the man said to my face. And, you know, if you want to be cautious, be cautious. And that's fair. But I don't feel it's fair to say Bill Johnson believes in kenosis anymore, or Bill Johnson, whatever different version you want, born again Jesus or adoptionism or Christ consciousness. Maybe you doubt me. And so you just go, is this a credible witness or not?
Yeah. No, I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah.
And I've been transparent with that and following the Texas Georgia look a man in the eye and stuff like that. I want to be as transparent as possible. I think where it really needs to come to, because with all, there are a lot of people, and I've talked about, that I look up to, that I highly respect, who are using the word, like, cult to describe your movement. And again, it's important, obviously, to define terms, and that we're, there's obviously the different issues, even when it comes to, like, what are the roles of spiritual gifts and prophecy, cessation versus continuation.
Yeah.
Those are kind of in-house discussions, and this whole process of Bethel has been kind of like an interesting nuance between my world and the world of evangelicalism. I believe where what I would be really interested to see, you know, it just, I'm going to probably, after this, I'm going to probably take a break from the whole Bethel thing for a while.
Sure.
But I think long-term, with these issues coming up, and we'll, and hopefully maybe this podcast and our conversation could be a catalyst for this, there would need to be, I would want to see, like, good action taken as far as what these statements are. In the same way, I've got elders that are under my authority.
Right.
I have people that I have to answer to. Ultimately, I have to answer to God. And I would not want to state anything that would make someone stumble in an area where, like I said, read this, this is crossing that fine line of being unclear, even if there's no ill intent.
Right.
Toying with Christology and pushing that line in Second John if anyone goes too far. So that I don't know, that's where I'm kind of at. But mostly I want to hear from you. I'm just kind of expressing what I think, and if there's anything else maybe that you want to kind of bring up as regards to, like, what I'm saying.
Yeah. And, you know, me personally, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Especially people who I know are my brothers, and say, just clarify yourself. And, I would say this, these are things going through my head as you speak. The charismatic movement has been called heretics, cult, all the time, regardless of what we do. And so eventually these claims become the boy that cried wolf. And it makes people tone deaf toward them.
Right.
And so, like, to be, they have to end. If the guy comes out and says, look, this is what I believe, like, those who are saying, look, this guy teaches kenosis,
mm-hmm.
have to come out and say, it's done. And I think we have to treat those words with their seriousness. Like, because it's kind of like this. Material heresy is misspeaking. Mm-hmm. Formal heresy is I believe this.
Right.
Material is the equivalent of going 1 mile over the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's wrong. I'm not going to say it's not. But what happens is people misspeak or miswrite, and we start trumping up charges. And so it becomes like saying, you know, you go 1 mile over the speed limit, and people go, well, that's breaking the law. And pedophiles break the law.
Right.
This guy is like a pedophile. And so to be a formal heretic is a really grievous thing against God. To misspeak is like, okay, we miscommunicated something.
Mm-hmm.
But to put the word heretic or cult leader assigned to someone who you're not sure has miscommunicated is saying the equivalent of this is like a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the claim itself requires going to your brother to figure this out. And so I would encourage everyone who says, I think this guy is a heretic, go to your brother, Matthew 18.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't talked to him, stop using those terms.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to me to think as well. You know, I'm sure he's probably read these quotes multiple times. You know, he doesn't live in a rock, like under a rock or whatever. So can we infer in a sense that he may actually agree with what he wrote, 'cause he's never unpublished it?
I
mean, how long ago did he write that book? And how long have people been complaining about this? He may think also
that he's clarified. And that seems to be what many people think, is that, you know, our statement of belief says fully God, fully man. What more do you need? And so I'm trying to be as sympathetic as I can to the external church, external to Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we're called to care about the whole body.
Right.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'd want to get where the clarification is. 'Cause on one end,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're talking about going to your brother. There still is the responsibility to where not everyone can be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still at the same time where if there is something where someone is, if someone has a, and let's just say someone brings in, I'll bring something completely different. I had a conversation one time. I don't know if you're familiar with Jesus Calling with Sarah Young. There's the devotional. Are you familiar with that?
Dude, no.
No? Okay. I'll just state this. So it's one of those books that is on the surface. It's one of those popular devotionals. It mm-hmm. just, it's made kajillions of dollars. I mean, it's a huge seller. Like, I work at Costco, and I see it there on the whole, like, book mm-hmm. stack. It's a big thing. And the books are always about Jesus in the first person, but always starts the whole emphasis. There's a lot of aspects that in it that are very mystical, and it kind of goes outside the line. And she also gets into a lot of her devotionals come from her personal encounters. She thinks where Jesus is talking directly to her. She's almost like transcribing this. So basically, long story short, I don't believe it's a theologically healthy book.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that if someone comes into my small group, I'm a deacon at Apologia,
okay.
and I see them with the Sarah Young book, and I just say, I don't think that's the best book. Here's why. Mm-hmm. This is like, there's a couple other great devotionals, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Mm-hmm. This is why, this is what you want to consider, and just graciously instruct there, because I can know by scripture that this is, there's things that are off here that are theologically mm-hmm. dangerous. And that's a whole, if we go into a series, that's a little mm-hmm. bit of a tangent, but I wouldn't believe that I have to call, try and get a hold of Sarah Young. I'm not obligated to call Sarah Young or find that out. I mean, I could, but if someone has something that they're, the primary thing is that if someone who's in the church is to shepherd and protect the flock, mm-hmm. and it's not contingent on whether or not I could get a hold of her or Bill Johnson or anything like that. It's just looking at, here's a teaching. Is it in conformity with scripture?
Sure.
When it comes down, because the issues, like I said, are important and are vital.
Right. There's three or four thoughts with that.
Sure.
One is the difference between slander, which is, we would say, it is a crime in the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be sued if you bring defamation to one's character. And so you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. You want to say, this teaching is false. I don't know this person. Or this paragraph's bad. You also want to... This is one thing I struggle with. Mm-hmm. Because I read across the spectrum. Like, I read Richard Dawkins. I read... I want to critically think through all... everything, and I read from sources of people. I don't believe everything that they say, and I find facts in what they have written. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, that's true, and I'm going to live like this fact is true because I don't want to commit the genetic fallacy. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes in the Christian world, we have this catch 22 of, we will listen to Jordan Peterson, who... Yeah. Doesn't believe Jesus resurrected, or at least says, I don't know, and go, man, this guy's saying really good stuff on truth. And then we hear Bill Johnson and we're like, burn everything of his. Mm-hmm. Instead of going, that's not a good paragraph. What about the stuff about living like Jesus? Mm-hmm. And so that's compelling to me. And that's why a lot of people go to Bethel and they go, I'm not sure I would use that phrase, but I want to live that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And
which phrase is that?
Emptied.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I appreciate what you're saying. I think when you look at someone like Jordan Peterson, I listen to him as someone who's very, very intelligent. He's in a lot of ways, he's really spoken a big level of reason in today's craziness with a culture, for sure. Yeah. If you're familiar, we both have watched that video separately where he's being interviewed by that UK journalist who's trying to catch him in all these things, and he's always flipping the table.
Yeah.
And that for sure. And, you know, it's different between someone there. I see as someone who's made in the image of God, and I would mm-hmm. see that hopefully all his... Everything that he has, the logic and reason that he has, that ultimately comes from a Christian worldview, mm-hmm. which, according to the Bible, Jordan Peterson knows the triune God of the Bible existed. Mm-hmm. That's what Romans 1:18, everyone knows God, all that stuff. And I would see, is Jordan Peterson, for example, is someone that would be, if there's some opportunity to interact with him, the odds of that are probably high that I'd run into him and have a gospel conversation with him. Mm-hmm. I would love that. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll be a guest on Cultist mm-hmm. one of these days.
I'd love it.
Right? But when it comes to someone, like, he has a role there. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to, like, there's plenty of people that will have really good and practical sermons on holiness and living.
Sure.
There are times where people have had benefits from... Now, again, this is not a direct comparison. That's just mm-hmm. because this has come into like our area of thought and what we explore and discuss. I mean, there's plenty of people who have learned really good and even practical living skills and stuff that's beneficial, for example, from Scientology. There's a lot of people who I have friends. I mean, I grew up kind of in the Mormon community. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of practical things of living and having a life of happiness, and people who generally think that they're going through things and they look better. But I think where the difference is that ultimately when it comes down, for someone who is like Bill Johnson's role, I would see it as is someone who is in the body of Christ, mm-hmm. someone who people look to as, you know, you call him apostle, and that's, sure. we talked about that a little bit previously. Sure. I would say that, and I talked about this in the previous episode, that if he's someone to be considered in the body of Christ, he has to adhere to the same biblical standards of rightly dividing the word of truth, mm-hmm. shepherding the flock. So when it comes down to that, someone could be coming down and learning practical, and they I mean, I'm saying, let me wrap this up, I'm kind of rambling here. They could learn some good practical advice on how to follow Jesus, and they could be blessed by that. But if it's mixed in with, at best case scenario, from my perspective, Christology that is extraordinary, confusing, and unclarified, mm-hmm. at least from his published works, that's where the concern rides in. Because if sure. I'm fully convinced that someone, even if Bill doesn't believe that, and I take you at your word, I think there's people who could read that stuff and come to those conclusions of that. And that's where the concern lies from my perspective.
Well, the reality is people have. Like, I've talked to people who said, look, I've had to discipline pastors who teach kenosis. And so I think that's a good argument to clean it up.
Okay.
What I don't think is, like, we need to be calling this man a heretic. Like, I have, you know, when I was a pastor, I misspoke about stuff. Mm-hmm. I was not clear. You know, I remember,
yeah,
people when I was a kid telling me in Sunday school, God's like a clover leaf, right?
Yeah.
And these are people that love Jesus, and mm-hmm. they misarticulate something.
Right.
And so, like, there is this balance between, like, guys, we've got to do this well because this is so important, which you're saying, mm-hmm. and then condemning our brothers and sisters.
Right.
And it's not like Jehovah's Witnesses where they have married a false Christ. It's sometimes people don't communicate Christ correctly.
Right.
And that's what I see sometimes, and other times they hit it out of the park, and frequently they do. Mm-hmm. And so we can and will grow, I think, at Bethel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, I think that how this whole thing is, and it'll be interesting to see what the after effects is. And I hope it's, I'm really interested to see what other people from Bethel come on. And I feel like a sense of relief, because mm-hmm. I want to be a man of my word.
Yeah.
And I feel like now it's like, I have someone, that offer I gave is coming to fruition with in front of me. And I'm like, praise the Lord, I'm a man of my word. And that's what I want to be. That's the type of person I want to be.
And I see your integrity. And like, I see the integrity of the entire team here. Mm-hmm. Like, I highly respect Jeff. And so integrity matters, mm-hmm. and it's a sign you love Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to say this while it's popping into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Fairley, in first year, goes through all the heresies to the students.
Mm-hmm.
Christology, the ones involving the Trinity. I remember sitting through this. And so that also adds to the reason I believe we are an Orthodox church.
Okay. Yeah, well, what I would like to see is, I think what would be really encouraging, because I think of all the buzz out there, and I'm just quoting, I mean, any things I paraphrase are from other people who've said that. I mean, that the word cult has never really come from this show.
Sure,
We've brought up things that we see as things that are pushing it mm-hmm. on different levels mm-hmm. into our realm. Mm-hmm. And so what I would want to see is, in the area where he misspoke, it's, mm-hmm. I'll just give you just one other example.
Sure.
This is from Bill Johnson, Face to Face with God. This was published in 2007. And basically it says this, quote, Jesus emptied himself of divinity and became man. While he is eternally God, he chose to live within the restrictions of a man and who had no sin and was empowered by the Holy Spirit. In doing this, he provided a compelling model to follow. And again, I just see that as another example of this sure. best case scenario, incredible confusion. And there is a level of importance with this because it says, I mean, the Bible talks about that teachers are going to come under a stricter form of judgment.
True.
And this is someone that you, this is a church that you attend.
Sure.
You put under him as the teacher. And I would really hope and pray that he does this because we're having a gentleman's conversation.
Yeah.
And this has been, and I've really enjoyed the time talking to you, that these are serious issues. And I really would like to see something be done about this or just,
yeah.
Like I said, the Jocko Willink, Extreme Ownership. If you guys, by a total side note, if you guys haven't seen that TED Talk, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kick in the pants. So that's all I'm going to say as far as, that's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing. Is there any, as far as the stuff that I brought up, is there anything that you want to kind of bring up as far as what we're talking about?
Nothing's coming to mind right now.
Okay. All right. So I think we covered that for a little bit. Let's just jump into one other clip that I've seen passed around. When we had Lindsay on, these were things that she brought up when she saw the film American Gospel. And we want to know what her story was. And in that, she did use the words false Christ, false. We discussed that here. She mentioned false gospel. And this is the quote that she used and others have posted and have sent me. So I believe it's just fair to read this. And again, we're in a world where there's always those sound bites and clips and stuff like that. So I wanted, mm-hmm. there's a chance where it's good to be fair. I want to play this clip. Mm-hmm. From someone like yourself, I think that's incredibly fair. And then it's important to discuss over these issues because obviously Wally said that it's important that it's where it's all at mm-hmm. when as far as Christology, but it's also what do you not just about who Jesus is, because
mm-hmm.
you can have the right Jesus, but if you distort the gospel and mix something together where how you're made right with them, that's where it gets dangerous and nuanced. So let me go ahead and play this clip. Let me find it here.
Hebrews 1 says, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through Jesus. What's the point? That message was for then. Jesus is for now. Without that shift, there is a constant reproducing of an anointing and a ministry that is not for today. Yesterday's anointing is like yesterday's manna. And so this ministry of Jesus that dealt with every single person that came to him with affliction or torment, he ministered to them. That's the only standard to follow. I refuse to create a theology that allows for sickness. Now here we got a problem. Only one. It's a small one. The Apostle Paul gives a warning in Galatians. And he says this. He says, he's the one who brought the gospel to them. He said, if I or even an angel comes to you and preaches to you a different gospel, you're to reject it. That's amazing. An angel shows up and he brings you a different standard, a different gospel. Reject it. He says, even if I come back to you and I change my mind, don't pay any attention to me. All right? What gospel is it? It's the gospel of Jesus. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Okay. Let me illustrate. Paul refers to his thorn in the flesh, which has been interpreted by many as disease allowed or brought on by God. That's a different gospel. Jesus didn't model it, and he didn't teach it. And Paul said, you can't change the standard.
Okay, that I think that's fair enough. That's roughly the context of what he says. So I have my thoughts on it, but I want to hear from you. So that's what I've been waiting on this to hear from you. And part of me is like, I want to get right to it. So let's have a conversation about that.
Set the framework up for me, because you said a lot of people they're like, oh, this is the thing that really sends up the red flags. If you could be like, this is the part of that.
Yeah. Well, I'll give context from my perspective of why I believe this is a huge area of concern and why this is making the accusations go out of false gospel.
Okay.
And it's congruent with what we've taught, especially when we're dealing, for example, we've done a lot of it. We're here in Arizona. You've seen our video. If you guys follow Apologia Studios, we do a lot of our content on YouTube, and we have like our Mormon evangelism. Sure. And it comes up a lot where we talk about Galatians 1. Like the context is that Judaizers were coming in, and they could say, you're saved by grace through faith alone. You can have all of that, but you just need to have circumcision. That's part of, of that. And they just add that into the gospel, and then that's okay. And right away, that was Paul's response, is that the gospel was being perverted. Works are being mixed in with the gospel. And it was just one particular thing. And so the language that Paul uses, he says, and this is where I'm wondering there could have been, I'm not sure what Bill was trying to say here, but he's paraphrasing Galatians 1 in a way I could say definitively that's not accurate. Because it's not just you ought to reject it. The Greek, if you look at the Greek that's used, when he says accursed or eternally, some English translations say accursed, some say eternally condemned. The word that Paul uses says, let him be anathema.
Anathema, yes.
Right. So, for example, I believe it was the Council of Trent, where the Catholics basically said, anyone who believes in faith alone, let him be anathema. Historically, the word anathema also has been used in Christian creeds and councils when they are condemning heresy.
Right.
So I would see it almost to the extent that, could you argue that you could take this clip, like Bill's the one firing the first shot, that he's saying, well, if you have a theology that allows for sickness, because he's using Galatians 1, he's saying you ought to reject it. But the reality is that Galatians says it's the anathema of God.
Sure.
You're eternally condemned because you're toying with the gospel. So they would flip that and say, no, that's actually not true. Therefore, you're teaching another gospel. And it's mixing in that signs and miracles are saying that it's a theology that allows for sickness. And then he equates Paul's thorn in the flesh. So that I've tried to dissect it. And that's where I take, especially in the context of Galatians 1. So I haven't had anyone who, they've just posted that clip. And like you look at the title, it's like, you know, people say this false teacher, this, that's always around the internet land.
Right.
But when I hear that clip, that's how I make sense of where they're coming from. And I think that's an important conversation to have.
Right. And so let me make sure I'm getting you right. You're saying that what people are hearing is, we're teaching that if you believe sickness comes from God, you're going to hell. Or like you are believing something false.
I'm trying to just make sense of those words.
That is, right there. I mean, certainly not our belief system. Reformed people are going to heaven. Cessationists are going to heaven. Anyone who gives their life, you know, believes in Jesus and his resurrection as the atonement for our sins, and says, Jesus, you know, I need you and I want to live my life for you, is a believer. I hear you, man. Like you hear it through one lens, and he's saying, like, if you're sitting in a Bethel audience in a stadium or our church, I can hear, we want to fight against sickness.
That is the kingdom message. And this is the meta framework of this, is that in heaven there is no sickness. And when Jesus came to earth, or when the second person of the Trinity took on human form, what happened was every person he encountered was healed that he prayed for. And so I think that's scriptural. And so the framework Bill is thinking in is, this is the kingdom message, that Christ came to defeat the works of the devil. We attribute sickness to either Satan or original sin. It had those never came, then there would be none. And so when we preach the gospel, which are the message of salvation, with that we resist illness. In the sense of, we pray against it with everything that we are. We don't blame the sick, we don't blame God, but we're not trying to communicate that you guys are anathema at all.
Yeah. Okay.
But you definitely understand the concern when people
here in conjunction
with Galatians 1, we hear the anathema cause. It's not only that we get our red flags, but it sounds like as well that Bill Johnson is separating himself from the majority body of the church by saying that if you believe in a gospel that allows for sickness in accordance with Galatians 1.
Yeah.
And one of my questions again would be, like you've kind of explained it, does this have to do with eschatology in a sense? Like I know throughout Scripture Jesus preaches the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
So in Bethel's point of view, what would be this gospel of the kingdom, this second type of gospel that we that a lot of people seem to miss throughout Scripture?
Okay.
What is that belief?
All right. So there's two So in Second Temple Judaism, there is this concept of this age and the age to come. And Paul uses this language. And so what we see is when Jesus is talking about the kingdom and he preaches the kingdom of God's at hand, he proclaims that and then he demonstrates it. So kingdom of God's at hand, person with leprosy be healed. And that person is healed. And so we would call that an already not yet understanding of the gospel. It's called an inaugurated eschatology. And so Bill believes that we can contend for more of the kingdom to come and see more of the kingdom through faithfully being faithful and learning to follow the Holy Spirit. And he's, well, I see this as well, that you know, discipleship is different than being a student. Like, a student wants to know everything a teacher knows. A disciple wants to know everything a rabbi knows and live like the rabbi. And so what is spreading the gospel right now in China, Latin America, Africa is power encounter. And our heart is to see power encounter in the Western church and to combat the works of the devil through prayer.
Okay, what would be, tell me just what does an power encounter look like? Because Is that a minister? Is that organization? Or is that just an aspect of, like?
Oh, that's just a phrase for when the Holy Spirit heals somebody or cast out a demon.
Okay.
It's an old school 80s phrase. Since there's so many hipsters listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think it's always God's will or intent to heal? And if He doesn't heal, if that doesn't come about, is that within His sovereignty? So, because in that quote, I mean, it's phrased, and I think with all these things, the signs and miracles are kind of intermixed, even with this discussion of the gospel, mm-hmm. and also with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
there's an aspect of, mm-hmm. it seems like Bill's trying to say about we're able to do, at least we're able to do the miracles of Jesus because he lived, at least I'm taking it as a man, not being divine, dependent on the other people, because that's what we do. That's the conclusion that I'm to.
He believes Jesus was divine, so we've got to be fair about that. Yes, Bill believes it's God's desire to heal everyone. And I think many in the church will agree to this to more or less, because I think every Christian will say, at death and at the resurrection of the dead, from that point forward, everybody is healed.
Mm-hmm.
We would also say there are times when God answers prayer and heals people. We would say providentially, God heals through natural means.
Mm-hmm.
We would say, even if you believe God is sovereign and willed that you had cancer, like many in the Reformed faith would say, if you have cancer, God willed that. You still go to the doctor. You mm-hmm. still fight against sickness. And you don't go, I'm fighting against the will of God.
Can I ask you this? Because you mentioned cancer. This literally popped in my brain this very second.
I hope it's not prophecy. It better be right, buddy.
Yeah. I don't
That's right.
I don't think so. I have some archives of just good information, sometimes useless information, all that sort of stuff. Total side note, like in regards to that, I worked mm-hmm. for like 2 weeks as trying to be a light bulb salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning all about pins and ballast and wattage and stuff like that. The job didn't work out, so I have this loose archive of like useless information of light bulbs I'll never have, because now I'm just buying them like everyone else. So mm-hmm. funny how that goes. So John Piper, he got cancer. Desiring God.org, and a lot of people who listen to this podcast are familiar with him. There is a time where he got cancer and he was diagnosed with it, and he said something that really stuck out to me when he said, was really kind of looking at what does this really mean, and mm-hmm. and someone who believes in God's sovereignty over everything, like in Ephesians mm-hmm. says, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. One of the things I remember him saying is this particularly, he said, Lord, don't let me waste my cancer.
Right.
As in, how can I believe this is something in between the mystery between how evil and suffering and those sort of thing, and God who looks over that, this is ultimately going to be worked out like for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, would that be something that you would say that would ultimately like God would be sovereign over of and would allow to happen in God's sovereignty from like your perspective and how you view theology when it comes to, you know, healing versus sickness?
I want to represent Bethel a bit more on this.
Sure.
I would say this about Bethel. When it comes to healing, their heart is to see people healed. And they would say, we don't believe that God gave that to a person. But they would not say a life is wasted if you have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people, the catch-22 I think sometimes that happens to people is if you say it's God's desire to heal or God's will to heal, and then you're sick, some people feel like I'm outside of God's will. I don't think that's intentional, and I don't think that's directly taught, but it needs to be resisted. And I admire anyone who is sick, who goes, I'm going to live for God's glory, and God is glorified by that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I appreciate that, man. One thing I also that caught my attention, Andrew, you can jump in too if you have any thoughts too, because I know your brain's always whirling, trying to think through different stuff, is when you think about Jesus and how he interacted with people.
Sure.
There's obviously times that he did heal.
Sure.
There's times that he didn't, and he chose not to heal. He had the opportunity. I'll give you just an example. where he had a lot of people who followed him mm-hmm. around because they saw the signs and wonders and miracles that he was doing. Mm-hmm. There were times, just to give you an example, this is John chapter 6, verse 60. And in the context prior to that, he said some difficult teachings that has to do it. And there's a lot of interesting theology has come out of this. And that's a whole mm-hmm. another one for a different time. But it's when he's talking about whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I'll raise him up on the last day. So that's kind of the context of what he's talking about. And okay. He said he did this teaching while at the synagogue in Capernaum. And it says, upon this hearing, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Mm-hmm. Aware that some of his disciples were saying, and aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken for you, they are full of Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known that from the beginning, which one of them did not believe and would betray them." And he went on to say, This is what I told you, and no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him.
Right.
So there's times where there were people, I would say, that Jesus gave many hard words, where it talks about he who wants to try and save his life will lose it. Like, come, sure. like, come to me and die. That right. it's not, you're coming ultimately for what, like, what's the purpose of, and maybe we could just talk about this, and we're just, mm-hmm. this is just where my brain, where my thought here is going. I mean, you got to ask too, like, what, when we're presenting the gospel mm-hmm. and even if we don't include signs and wonders, like what's the big point for Jesus? And even it was brought up in American Gospel, a lot of times people, and this is not everyone, but I've seen where kind of Jesus is the byproduct of having health and wealth and, sure, and all sure, that sort sure. of stuff. I mean, we talked in the previous podcast a little bit about what's going on with this discussion, like regarding Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. But even with the fact that there are times where, like, what's the real reason why you're going for Jesus? Are you going there because you know that you're a sinner and mm-hmm. that, like, you've broken God's law, and that it talks about so when Paul in Romans 1, when he talks about this is the power of God unto salvation, mm-hmm. and the problem is this is the gospel is the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus, the righteousness mm-hmm. of God for our sin. And, like, the purpose, like, what are we going there for? Are we knowing that we're broken, that we need a Savior, and that we ultimately, when we stand before God, like Walter Martin said, there's one, like, when we talk about disease and sickness, there's one disease none of us are ever going to be cured from.
Right.
Our last one. Right? All of us have that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what is mm-hmm. what is the gospel? How are we made right with God? When we stand before God, like, what do we have? Mm-hmm. And it's not just what we believe in Jesus, but what do we mm-hmm. believe about him? Mm-hmm. He is the one who knew no sin, who became sin for us.
Right.
What I would say is extraordinary danger when there's an overemphasis on the healing and the miracles that ultimately is not what someone ultimately needs. Mm-hmm. They need to know the gospel, that they need to know that their sin has separated them from a holy God.
Right.
And without having Jesus, mm-hmm. the wrath of God abides on all people, whether mm-hmm. whether it's the people who have the law, who are the Jews, or the people who are mm-hmm. the Gentiles who know the law of God in their hearts, mm-hmm. I think that's really where the emphasis of the gospel has to be. Mm-hmm. I think if the overemphasis on signs and wonders can be an extraordinary danger if you're not careful, because people are coming then to be healed, but do they really know about the real need for Jesus?
Like, right. Is his grace still sufficient
yeah.
for them?
Yeah, because I mentioned one last thing, and I'm just random here, the story of the 10 lepers, and mm-hmm. Jesus goes and heals them. Only one gave glory to God. Mm-hmm. I would say that there's one person that was cured of leprosy mm-hmm. who went to heaven, mm-hmm. gave glory to God. There's nine who walked away, mm-hmm. and I would just conclude theologically, and God at the end of the day is sovereign, but at least if that is what I think it's saying, there's nine people cured of leprosy who are in hell.
Right.
So I'm ranting.
And hell's like, that much hotter for them.
Right.
For denying God even when a miracle happens.
Yeah, the Son of Man healed them. And they was like, all right, cool, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
So where do we go? Like, right. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just hopefully that's on some level a setup. And sometimes I do overtalk, and that's not the case. I apologize. But I want to hand it back to you. Just give me your thoughts,
I'm trying to formulate what the essence of what you're asking me is. Like, if you could put it in one sentence. Because there was a whole gospel.
Yes. Yes, because that, you know, it's a passionate topic. When the emphasis on signs and miracles, do you think that could be a danger within the culture of Bethel, there could be a dangerous overemphasis on the signs and healing?
Yeah.
Where almost the real reason, if someone does get healed, you give glory to God, but it's a means to an end.
Right.
Getting right with God, which is understanding what is the righteousness of God that comes through faith, the true biblical gospel.
Like, is the biggest miracle of all of regeneration, a spiritually dead person being brought to life, overshadowed and overlooked?
I would say that
is definitely a miracle.
A danger. Is that a danger that could be overlooked?
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, can you really be a cessationist if you believe in salvation?
it's the biggest miracle.
Yeah. Those are always miracles. I hear what you're saying. I'll throw some caveats in, and then I'll talk about the gospel. One of the caveats is God loves people more than we realize. He gave us Jesus, but sometimes he shows his love to people that will reject him just because he's good. And so he will heal people. He will heal those nine to demonstrate his love. Where the danger is for charismatics is not sharing the gospel when God heals people. I think we need to be aware of that.
Okay.
But I would say this. One of the things that I think old school reformers did well, that sometimes drops out of these conversations, is the gospel message isn't just come and die to your sins because Jesus died on the cross. It is you get Jesus, you get a new family, you get to stand before God, you get heaven, and there is real life and joy in the dying process to our sins. And like having that vision of one day the choices I make will possibly earn the praise of God. And none of us know how powerful and beautiful that will be. And that compels me to die to my sin. And so I think sometimes we focus on the negative part of, we're broken, we're sinful, and forget the beauty of what God is doing in reconciling the world to in Christ to himself. And so and I think the charismatics are trying to be like, let's look at this positive side of what God's doing. But sometimes we do it at the expense of dropping sin out of the equation, which is dangerous.
I appreciate you saying that too. That's very, very encouraging.
And so it's got to be done in balance and like, scripturally, and so we don't want to throw either away, but I find this analogy very helpful. So imagine two baseball coaches on two different fields, right? And it's you know, three balls, two strikes, bases are loaded, you know, the winning runs at the plate. And one coach is yelling, don't throw a ball. and the other is saying focus on the mitt, mm-hmm. the other pitcher. Like, we have to learn to focus. Focus is the intentional elimination of distraction, and our focus needs to become Christ and how beautiful and glorious he is. And I think that is where healthiness lies in bringing all of us together. Like, no one on the charismatic side is going to be like, no, I don't love that. No one on the reform side is going to be like, wow, that's dumb. And to make our message about the beauty of Christ and mm-hmm. the holiness of Christ and right. the glory of Christ. And I hope that's answering some questions, yeah, or maybe it's a ramble-a-thon, no, but it's a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. Is like, all beauty that exists, every beautiful sunset. And I tell guys, because I help guys with porn type stuff, is imagine if you could have sex with every woman you want for the rest of your life. When you get to heaven will be better and more pleasurable. And that's why you say no to that. And there is something so freeing about seeing Jesus for who he is. And I just want to say to this audience, if you've forgotten who Jesus is, look again. That's all you got to do to fall in love with this man. And he is worth it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I would just, one thing I would say too is that, in fact, I was just thinking this too, when in the category in which she just discusses like the signs and miracles and such, mm-hmm. is Luke 10:19. Where he talks about the authority that he's given.
Okay.
And he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions right. and to overcome the power of the enemy, and nothing right. will harm you. But he says something that's always caught my attention, and it says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Right.
So
right.
that's where I see the emphasis of Jesus, where it's the emphasis, like, don't, you need, like, don't get caught up with the ultimate signs and miracles, or just mm-hmm. these, some, what some people equate, whatever the supernatural experiences. We'll talk more about mm-hmm. that when we discuss the New Age. But there's an, I see an emphasis what Jesus is talking about. There's an emphasis on the gospel, which is even separate from the healing signs and miracles, which is really the preaching mm-hmm. of being made right with God, repenting right. from your sin, turning to Christ,
right,
being made right with God and being born again. That's the emphasis, because that is the ultimate miracle that people have to focus on. And when you look at what are byproducts which point to that, that's where things a lot of times can get nuanced. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I would say regarding that. So I think we've actually covered a lot here.
Yeah.
This has been good, and I've really appreciated again you coming on, and hopefully this will be a good platform for a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion. So
right.
We'll go ahead and wrap up this episode, and I think we covered a lot of ground here. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, go ahead and once again leave us a review on iTunes, let us know what you thought, and go ahead and like and share these episodes. We definitely are interested in seeing what the feedback is going to be on these episodes. So we will do one last episode here, kind of talking about which one of your passions are, and we're interested to hear it, helping charismatics avoid the New Age, or just your contention with the New Age as a whole. And that should be an interesting discussion, especially considering our talk that we have with Doreen and Melissa. They actually mm-hmm. told me they're very excited to listen to see what
yes,
you have to say.
Yes.
So all that being said, we will talk to you guys next time on Cultish, and we will talk to you guys in part 4 of this conversation. Talk to you guys soon.